On Parshas Va'eza, there is a sicha in Chelek Gimel, Volume 3 of Likutei Sichos, in which the Rebbe addresses the issue of Moshe Rabbeinu's question to God. When Moshe Rabbeinu came back after his first visit to Pari, and Pari had gotten annoyed and had increased the workload on the people, on the slaves, Moshe came back to God and said, "Lama hazeisa la'am hazeh? Why did you do bad to this people?" And the intensity of Moshe's question was, how is it possible that through a shlichus coming from God, through Moshe Rabbeinu, that should bring a negative result, that should bring something bad? How can something bad come out of goodness? And here there are three parts to this goodness. First of all, a shliach like Moshe Rabbeinu. Concerning Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that when he was born, vateda eseki tevhu, that his mother saw that he was good, meaning that he was thoroughly good. He was pure goodness immediately at birth. So the shliach, Moshe Rabbeinu, is the epitome of goodness. Then the mishaleach, the sender, is God himself. It had to be God himself, because the Jews were sunk into the memtes shari tuma. They had sunk into such a low level of unholiness that only God himself could bring them out. And so, God himself is certainly the essence of goodness. As it says concerning heaven, that in heaven there is no left, there is no negative, there's only goodness. And so the question is, since the mission and the messenger and the sender are all the essence of goodness, how could this result in something bad? That was Moshe's question. And what was the answer? God said to him, "Vayemer elav ani avaye, I am God, va'era el Avram, ushmi avaye lo nadaiti lahem." God says to Moshe, there was Avraham, to whom I made a promise, and yet I did not fulfill that promise in his lifetime, and still he didn't ask any questions. He had no complaints. So God is saying to Moshe that there was Avraham, there was Yitzchak, and there was Yaakov. And they had reason to ask questions, and yet they didn't. So chaval al da'avdin v'lo mishtakhin. So God is saying a pity that the greatness that used to be is no longer. That they had this greatness and that they had no questions. They never had any questions against God, and a pity that quality or that greatness is lost. So we need to understand over here a few things. First of all, why did Moshe ask? If there's a great virtue in not asking, in silent acceptance, then Moshe Rabbeinu should have had that virtue, because in essentially Moshe was greater than the patriarchs. He was greater than the others. We know this because he was the seventh. The Kol HaShviin Chaviven. That the seventh is greater even than the first. Is greater than the preceding six, including also the first. So if Moshe is greater than them, how is it that they had this virtue of not doubting or not questioning, and Moshe did question? Number two, since God, in his answer to Moshe, is saying that the Avos didn't have any questions, so God is trying to emphasize the greatness of the Avos. Why does he refer to the third of the Avos as Yaakov and not Yisroel? When we're talking about the greatness of Yaakov, he has two names. And Yaakov refers to a condition when Yaakov was holding on to the heel of Esav, which is not a very complimentary condition. And then he has the other name when his name was changed to Yisroel, which is a complimentary name. So why here, when God is emphasizing the greatness of the Avos, does he refer to Yaakov as Yaakov and not Yisrael? Number three, all the stories in Torah are a message and a lesson for us in how we're supposed to serve God. So, what is the lesson in this story when God is telling us something negative about Moshe Rabbeinu? When the Torah is careful not even to say something negative about an animal. And here the Torah tells us about a flaw and a fault in Moshe Rabbeinu. So it must be that there is an important lesson that we need to learn from it, which justifies this this criticism. And finally, how is it that we can learn something from this story? How can we compare ourselves either to the Aves or to Moshe Rabbeinu? So although it's true that every generation, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that every generation has someone like Avraham or like Yaakov, like Moshe, but those are the rare individuals. And the message of Torah has to be to the average person and to all Jews. So what kind of a lesson can we possibly learn? How can we compare ourselves to Moshe? And here we're being told that we should be greater than Moshe in a certain way, that we should have the virtues of the Aves that Moshe didn't have. So the Rebbe explains as follows. The difference between the Aves and Moshe. The level of Moshe Rabbeinu was the level of Chochmah. That was the prominent faculty of Moshe's Neshama, was divine Chochmah. And it is the nature of Chochmah that it wants to understand. This is why the Torah was given through Moshe. Because Torah is God's Chochmah, and so it was given through the Neshama of Moshe, which was essentially Chochmah. Whereas the Aves, compared to Moshe, the Aves, their Aveda, their virtue was emotions. Avraham was the emotion of love, as it says, Avraham Ehavi, which means that Avraham served God out of love for God, and also with other people, Avraham's behavior, Avraham's treatment of other people was always with chesed, always with love. And he did them kindness, both physical and spiritual. The Aveda of Yitzchak was with fear, with perfection, with gvura. As it says, Pachad Yitzchak. So Yitzchak served God out of awe and pachad of God. And that's why he was intolerant of even the subtle evils in the world, because his Midah of Gvura doesn't tolerate anything less than perfection. And that's why the smoke of the Avodah Zarah of Esav's wives made Yitzchak blind. He couldn't tolerate even the smoke of the Avodah Zarah, a whiff of Avodah Zarah. And then there was the Avodah of Yaakov Avinu, whose main Avodah was in the attribute of Teferis, of compassion, which is a combination of Chesed and Gvura. And that's why Yaakov says, Elikei Ovi, Elikei Avraham Upachad Yitzchak, Hoyoli, that the God of Avraham and the God of Yitzchak stood by me, which means that Yaakov had both aspects. The God of Avraham meaning the love of God, and the God of Yitzchak meaning the fear of God. So he had them both. And because he had them both, because he was a combination of both, that's why everything in his life was complete and whole, not to an extreme in either direction. So all his children were tzaddikim, and his life in general came out to be complete from all sides. And that's why he was able to serve God through a variety of conditions, from one extreme to another. He was able to serve God in a state of wealth and contentment, as well as serving God in a time of need and a time of pain. So he was able to handle both Lavan and Esav equally. And that's why, as a summary to Yaakov's life, it says, Vayove Yaakov Shalom. And Yaakov returned home complete, whole. And that's because of the combination of being in the center, centered between love and fear. So we see that the Aves served God with their emotions, whereas Avraham served God through Chachma. Now, although it's true, and it must be true, that the Aves also served God through wisdom, through Chachma, and it must also be true that Moshe served God through his emotions, as we find concerning the Aves, that Mehem shall aviseinu leparsha yeshiva mehem, we find that the Aves, since the time of Avraham, they were constantly studying in yeshiva. So there was an emphasis on the learning of Torah, on the chachma of godliness. And on the other hand, we find by Moshe Rabbeinu that he certainly used emotion in his service of God, as we find that he came out vayar b'sivloisam, that he saw the suffering of the Jewish people and it hurt him deeply. That is the midah of chesed, of love. And then on the other hand, when he saw one Jew raising his hand against another, he was very sharp in criticizing him and in not tolerating that kind of behavior, which is an aspect of gevurah. Yet, although a Jew does all mitzvahs and serves God with all his faculties, for each person there is one faculty or one middah that dominates. That is their main aveda. So by Moshe Rabbeinu, the main aveda was chachma, and that's why Torah came through him to such a degree that the Torah is even referred to as Torah's Moshe Avdi, because he was so united with the Torah that it can be referred to by his name. And by the Aves, their main aveda was their emotion, as it says, Avraham Ehavi, that the essence of Avraham was his love for God. And that's what we inherit from them. So now that we understand that the Aves primarily served God with emotion, and Moshe primarily served God with Chachma, now we'll understand why Moshe, who is on a higher level than the Aves, yet he did ask the question, Lama Hadaisa? And the Aves had no questions, because the nature of Chachma, although it is higher than emotion, but the nature of Chachma is that it wants to understand. And when it comes across something that it doesn't understand in godliness, in God's behavior, in God's justice, this disturbs the Chacham so that he cannot move on and continue to grow in his Avodah. So this was Moshe's question. He needed to understand the justice in the Hashgacha Pratis of what had happened in order to be able to grow further in his Avodah and serve God with greater Chachma, since Chachma was his main Avodah. But what was the answer to him? The answer to him was that before Matan Torah, by the Aves, God revealed himself, but not on the level of Hashem, not the name Hashem. Ushmi Hashem lo nadaiti lahem. I did not make known to them the name Hashem. And now by Matan Torah, which really began at the beginning of the Geula, as soon as the Geula was known and announced, which had already happened, because Moshe came to Pare to tell him that the Geula is happening. So at that time, the name Hashem was being revealed, as it says, Vayemer Elav Ani Hashem. God says to Moshe, I am Hashem. What is the special meaning of the name Hashem? The name Elokim refers to creation and to the world, to existence. And that's why the gematria of Elokim is the same as the gematria of Hateva, of nature. And in creating the world, in creating nature, through the name Elikim, every creature received its limitations, because Elikim means limitation. And that's why Elikim is plural, like it says, Elikim Kedoshim, plural, because Elikim refers to the individual, limited, separated creatures that make up this world. But the name Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that contains the meaning of was, is, and will be, all combined into one word. So it's referring to that part of God that is above time, above division, above creation. And that part of God, which was greater than creation, that's what was revealed at the giving of the Torah, which to some degree began at the beginning of the Exodus. And that's why at the giving of the Torah, all restrictions were removed. There was no longer a distinction or a separation between heaven and earth, so that heavenly things can be on earth and earth can be heavenly. So this is what God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, that now when we're at the stage of Geula, we're at the stage of receiving the Torah and of breaking down the limits, the separation between heaven and earth, it is now time to also break down and remove the separation between Chachma and emotion. So although it is the Teva of Chachma that it wants to understand and needs to understand and is justified in its desire to understand, yet at this stage, when we're removing all the separations, when we're combining everything into one pure emes, it is now possible for a Chacham to have the qualities of the Aves who served God with their emotions. And therefore it is possible now for Moshe to not have to ask. And this is what the Torah means when it says, I appeared to Avraham, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov. And it doesn't say Yisroel, because here God is telling him, is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, that by Yaakov there were two conditions. There was the level of Chachma, which is addressed or referred to by the name Yisroel, Lizesh, same letters as Lizesh, which is intellect. And then there was Yud Akev, the name Yaakov, which refers to the heel. The difference between the head and the heel, the head needs to understand, and the heel does what it is told. Kabbalah so. So the emphasis here to Moshe Rabbeinu was that you should be more like the Aves, not like the Seichel of the Aves, not like the wisdom of the Aves, not like Yisroel, but like Yaakov, like the Akev, like the heel, that has the virtue of being able to continue without having to have answers. There's another important difference between the nature of emotions and the nature of intelligence. And this also God demanded from Moshe, even though Seichel was his main feature. The difference is like this. It is the nature of a person who is a Chacham that he cannot apply himself to the details of physical activity. The brain doesn't get involved physically, doesn't get involved with giving life to the other parts of the body. Unlike the heart, which is the seat of the emotions, the heart is busy sending life to all parts of the body. So this is what God is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu. Seichel, Chachma, wants to stay separated from the mundane aspects of life. It clings, it cleaves to wisdom, to what is yet unknown, to what is above it. And it really can't be bothered to get involved with the mundane affairs of the world. whereas emotions are much more concerned and much more devoted to the act, to the physical act that follows from the emotion. As we find, for example, by Ben Azai didn't get married because he said, Nafshi Choshka B'Toyza. He was so immersed in the study of Torah that he couldn't apply himself to the physical realities of life and get involved in a marriage and a family, even though he was learning in his Chochmah, in the Torah it says, that the purpose is to inhabit the world, to be involved in the world. So he's learning that that's what needs to be, and yet he couldn't get himself to do it because he was so attached to the wisdom of the subject, of the issue. Whereas when it comes to emotions, that which emotions feel, they want to act on and they want to do in the physical. And that's why we need to be told, Kol ha'emer ein li ela teira, afilu teira ein li. The person who says, I have only teira, the Mishnah says that even the teira won't be real. He doesn't have teira either. Why would a person say, I have only teira? Because it is the nature of the Chacham who gets immersed in the study of Torah. It is the nature of Chachma that it remains immersed, enveloped in the Chachma, and doesn't continue, it doesn't find expression in actual deed. So a person has to be told that Torah alone, cleaving to the wisdom of Torah, is not acceptable, but he has to go against his nature and actually do the mitzvah and get involved in the affairs of the world. And this explains the statement that Rashi makes on Vo'eza El Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakev, where the Torah says that God appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rashi makes the comment, God appeared to the patriarchs, which is a strange statement. We know that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the patriarchs. So what is Rashi adding here? What is Rashi telling us that we don't already know? So now we'll understand that what God was trying to tell Avram, was trying to tell Moshe, was that he should take and gain the virtues of the patriarchs. He was telling them not to gain the individual talents of Avram, which was love, or the individual talent of Yitzchak, which was pachad, fear, or the individual talent of Yaakov, which was the combination, but rather that he should attain the virtue of the patriarch aspect of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, of the fact that they are aves. What does it mean, aves? Aves are patriarchs, which means that they give birth to children. So God was saying to Moshe, be a patriarch, be an av, give birth to children. And what are children? They say, Shel tzaddikim, masim tevim. What are the children of tzaddikim? Their good deeds. In other words, the actual behavior, the application of what you learn in actual deed and in actual performance, those are the children. And so the aves, where the emphasis on children is clear, because in order to be parents, in order to be patriarchs, you have to have children. So Rashi is telling us that what God was emphasizing to Moshe is not that he should be like Avraham because Avraham was great, or Yitzchak or Yaakov, but rather be like the aves, have children, apply yourself in the actual deed without clinging to the seichel and to the understanding that is natural to a chacham. The lesson from all of this is, for us, that the giving of the Torah removed the restriction that said that heaven is heaven and earth is earth, but rather, since the giving of the Torah, the heavens can come down and the earth may rise and go up. So that which is above can come down and that which is below can go up. And that means, in practical application, that there are those who are the leaders, the heads of the people, and there are those who are the wood choppers, the water carriers. So the giving of the Torah tells us that if you are on a high level, you are above. It is now necessary for you to also come down and get involved in practical deeds. And if you are from the below, from the Tachtonim, it is now possible for you to go up, to rise, and to study Torah, including also the secrets of Torah, including also Chassidus. So that there will be a total combination, a total mixture of top and bottom, so that we reach the true point of Emes, which the Emes which is in the middle. In order to be able to do this, where do we get the strength to be able to bring together the extremes within us, the highest of the high and the lowest of the low? So we are told that before Moshe passed away, he was shown what would happen ad hayom ha'achrin, which is also read ad hayom ha'achrin. He was shown what would happen to the Jewish people until the end of days, which means till the generation of Mashiach. What does it mean that Moshe was shown and he saw in a vision all the generations? That which a tzaddik looks at, Marei Seineihem Shel Tzaddikim, that which a tzaddik puts his eyes on, that which a tzaddik looks at, gives energy from the tzaddik to the people that he's looking at. So by Moshe Rabbeinu looking at us, at our generation, the generation of Mashiach, through this Moshe gave us his ability. So that even in a time of Ikvus of the Meshicha, when we are all on the level of heels, we have the ability to rise and connect with the highest of the high. So by Moshe attaining this combination of having the greatness of being the Shvi, which is Chochmah, and at the same time acquiring also, as God demanded of him, that he should acquire also the greatness of emotions, of patriarchs, by his attaining this combination, he now gives us the ability to do it, and through looking at our generation, passed on this koyach, so that we too can combine the lowest of the low and the highest of the high. The Torah says that on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Moshe began to explain the Torah. And the Gemara says, what does it mean that he explained it? That he translated it into 70 nations, into 70 languages. Because before the Beit HaFloga, before the building of the Tower of Babel, all people spoke Lashon Kodesh. But because they rejected the oneness of God in the building of the tower, they were punished, and that their languages changed. Asher lo yada ish slasri ehu. One person didn't understand the language of the other. They were divided into 70 languages. But Jews are the great Echad. We're supposed to bring Echad, the oneness of God, into the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu combined the highest of the high with the lowest of the low, in that he translated the Torah, the Lashon Kodesh, and brought it down into the 70 languages, so that all over the world and in all languages there should be an awareness and an understanding of Hashem Echad through Torah Achas. And this is, the job of Moshe Rabbeinu, because he is the highest of the high, and he combines that with the Midas, with the virtue of the others, so that he can bring godliness from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low.